I told Brother James when he came in that I was going to talk about him, so let's talk about him. Two or three years ago, we was cleaning up the old Zeebock schoolhouse. And that's the thing that was built in 1930s and kind of fell down, and there's a bunch of us over there cleaning up and hauling off whatnot. Well, here's James and his daughter. They show up a little later with metal detectors, and they're going around having a good time until my grandchildren come along and they take them away from them. So now the grandkids are having a good time. They're hunting treasure. We'd been told that there was a time capsule buried somewhere. We didn't find it. But they was hunting treasure. So that's my title for today, treasure hunting. And I'm not a treasure hunter, but I came up with this, and it's a rock. And I want to tell people that more than likely the Indians used this and had a stick on it, and they clobbered pale faces. Isn't that what you think, Jack?
Yep.
Okay, look at that rock. But it's not treasure. I keep it in my safe. It's not treasure. I guess I'm afraid I'll lose it. I don't know. So, like when we usually visit and talk, let's talk about something that will help us spiritually. And I found a scripture about treasure hunting. In Matthew 13 and 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy goeth and selleth all he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I know nothing about pearls. I would not recognize a goodly pearl from a badly pearl. I've been told that a goodly pearl, a real pearl, and you put it in your mouth, it's gritty. I just don't have much desire to put something like that in my mouth. But I do enjoy finding things. Becky and the grandkids, when they was younger, would go on an adventure. And they'd come back with deer sheds and old cans and this, that, and the other. I mean, they was out hunting, treasure hunting maybe. But when we think spiritually, let's carry this a little forward. And to me, lots of times, what is treasure and what is not? So let's look at what is not treasure. That rock is not treasure. You might get a few dollars if you could prove it, an Indian made it. Let's see what is not treasure. In Matthew 10 and 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now this does not say not to love mom and dad or brother and sister. We have commands to do that. But when we're putting someone else in front of God and not taking an upper cross and not following, then we're treasuring the wrong thing. I imagine several of you have visited with someone and say, hey, let's study the Bible or let's come to go to church with us. Oh, you know, I'd like to, but mom and dad went to this church. Son and daughter goes to that church. No, I don't think so. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after, have erred from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, you read stories about people that came into a lot of money. Maybe it's a lottery. Maybe they struck oil, whatever it was. And in a few years, they're broke. A few years, they're not happy. You know, they have distant relatives coming in, wanting an inheritance. I'm in bad shape. I need this. I need that. in Oklahoma City this last week, there's usually guys standing on the street. This guy's holding the sign, says, "I have Alzheimer's. My wife has cancer. I need help." And I'm sitting there, and I said, "How did you know to get on the street? How do you know to get home? How do you know how to hold up the sign?" Needless to say, I didn't give him any coins. But there's always people trying to con you out of money. Money is not the problem. It's the love of money. If you read in the Bible about some of the people that followed after God, they was wealthy. They had a lot of things. But when you put money first, that's where the problem is. That's not treasure. 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." You can tell I don't believe in bodily exercise. We got some coaches here. They train kids to get in shape, and that's great. But you can be in the best shape you are, and if you get up my age and older, you're not going to be as good a shape. It just, things wear out. People lots of time put recreation and activities before God. That's not treasure. That's not true treasure. Let's read another few verses. In Ecclesiastes 2:8, this is talk about King Solomon. "I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of providences. I got me mansingers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." You remember Solomon asked for wisdom, and it was granted. So he'll have to go down in the Bible and history as one of the smartest individuals there was. And he was blessed because of that. He had gold and silver. If he wanted a river somewhere, they dug it. If he wanted a mountain somewhere, they made it. He just had everything. And the 11th verse, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." What is vanity and vexation? That's worthless. That's worth nothing. So all of this was worth nothing to him. There was no profit under the sun. A little further in the same chapter, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This is what Solomon says, one that was granted wisdom. Fear God and keep his commandments. We're getting closer to what treasure is. We're getting closer. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We're getting close to treasure. We're getting warm. We're getting close. Seek first the kingdom of God. It wasn't physical activity. It wasn't money. It wasn't friends, family. We're getting close. Let's go back to our first few reading that we had in Matthew 13:44. You know, the answer was told us as we read it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is our treasure. This is what we need to really be going after when we find true treasure. Look in Luke 2:29, "And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Things are going to be so much easier when you're seeking God. He knows what you have need of, and He's going to bless you with it. You may think you need this, that, the other, but He really knows the best. Let's go further. Luke, and starting verse 32 now. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, or treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, people that have a lot of wealth, lots of times they have to have bodyguards. They have to have big security system because people are trying to steal from them. I expect a lot of you here have wanted a new automobile. And you've saved and you got the new automobile. Do they not fade away? Do they not end up with dents, scratches? Maybe there's a torn spot in the upholstery. Maybe it won't start. You know, they just fade away. Anything that you can think of that you're really treasuring is going to fade away. You can be all physically great. It's going to fade away. So we need to treasure things that have lasting value. That's where treasure is. Going back to Matthew 13 and 44, and we won't read it. I've read it too many times already. Did the guy in the field wait? No, he went straightway, sold what he had, and bought the field. What about the guy seeking goodly pearls? Did he say, I want to think about it? Do I want to sell everything I got to go get this pearl? Becky will ask me about something. I said, well, I need to think about it. I'm putting her off. They did not wait. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 41, when they had gladly received the word, they were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. Did they go home to talk about it? Did they want to think about it? No. They found treasure. They wanted to get it now. If you got a present, boys, you want to open it now. Let's not wait. Another example. In Acts 16 and 30, I think we studied this last week, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And when they spake on him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. Somewhere there's a marker. So what happened here? They heard the word. They talked to them about Jesus. They were told they had to believe. I can misspell because Caressa's not here, so y'all don't worry about it today. You know what I'm trying to get up here. And they was told to be baptized straightway. So they didn't wait. They wanted this. Let's look at another account. In Acts 8 and 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So what happened here? He heard the word again. He was told to believe. He was told to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was told to be baptized. This is what he was told to do. There's some things also that we wasn't told here in Luke 13:3. And Luke 13:5, it says to repent. What is repent? Repent is simply changing and not doing what you want to do. Doing worldly things. Not doing things that are against God's will. And we read about the jailer here. When he heard and he was told to believe, he wanted to be baptized right away. So he changed his mind. He didn't want to live in a sinful manner. Same thing with the eunuch. He heard, he asked, what this hindered me to be baptized? He was told, he changed. I don't want to live sinfully anymore. I'm going to put Jesus first. He confessed, he was baptized. Now y'all look around the audience today. Everyone here that wears the name Christian done this. Every one of you that obeyed the gospel done this. They heard, they believed, they confessed, they repented, they was baptized in this water. We've got a change of clothes, we've got towels, the water's warm. That's what they do. That's what they did in the Old Testament. I mean, in the New Testament, in the old days, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, it's what we do today. Nothing has changed. It's all the same. Now here's what's fun. Next verse, Acts 8:39. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's what happens. When your sins are washed away, it's a rejoicing time. I always want to say hallelujah. You know, that is right. That's what we want to do. Think about this. Now here comes my type of thinking in here. What did it cost? We'll talk about doing something. Well, what's it going to cost? In Matthew 13:44, we're same verse again. What did it cost the guy to go by the field? All that he had. What about the pearl of great price? He went and sold all that he had. Max Shields, remember the sermon from Truman Teal, The Pearl of Great Price? He talked about this. This is not that sermon, I promise. Look what Jesus said, I think in Luke 12:33. Sell all that you have and give alms. It costs us all. Let's carry this forward. Here is what it really costs. Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love the Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We have to put ourselves further down the line. We put God first and obeying His commandments, our neighbors, ourselves. We don't worry about our recreation. We don't worry as much about working. We don't worry as much about family. We put God first. That's what it costs us. Let's look at some more of the cost. In Romans 5:18, wherefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What this says to me is that because of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, sin came into the world. Man was condemned to death. Then we have, by the righteousness of one, who was the most righteous person that never sinned, Jesus, a free gift came to us for justification. That's what it tells us. It costs something. And here in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus had to die the death on Calvary. He had to be crucified, which was one of the most horrible deaths known to man, so that we could have our sins washed away. God had to give his son, his only son, to die for us. So the cost was great. It don't cost us a lot. We just have to accept him and obey his plan and put him first. But it cost the Lord and Savior his life for us. So a question, what do you treasure? In Luke 12 and 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What have you really thought on a lot this last week? This last month? Luke 12 and 21, so he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. You know, when you meet your maker on the day of judgment, he don't want a financial statement. He has a book of life, and things are written in it on what you have done while you're alive here. He won't want to know if you've run the Boston Marathon time after time. So, let's think about true treasure. Very common verse, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would go and told you, and I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I haven't been in many mansions. I really haven't. Several years ago, Becky, Jana, and Curtis and I went to Canada, and we went to Niagara Falls. Now, that's a place I can just sit and watch and listen. Unbelievable. That much water on that big of a space falling, and the sound and the mist, just beautiful. And at night, they got lights on it. Just unbelievable. Can't hardly explain it. There's a place called Lake Victoria in Canada. You just kind of want to sit there and look. There's another place called Bouchard Gardens. I mean, it's got flowers that, unbelievable. I really got tired of looking at pretty. I mean, it was just really something. But you get to thinking that if God can make these here on earth, and if he wants to make a mansion, what in the world will it be like? Don't you want to go there? Revelations 21 and 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In the last month, has anybody here been sorrowful for some reason? Somebody said something to you, done something to you that make you unhappy. Have you cried about it? Most of us here has buried a loved one. You know, that's sad. We don't get to see them again. Some of us here have to suffer with pain. You know, someone asked us, why do you go to the doctor so much? And my standard answer is, because I don't like pain. I don't want to hurt. Doctor, do something so I don't hurt. I talked to an individual once and says, I would like to have one day that I don't hurt. When you get to heaven, there's no pain. You're not going to be sorrow about anything. You're not going to cry about it. It's going to be joy. It's going to be laughter all the time. I've never seen a place like that. That's treasure. We don't want to wait for it. We're bringing our remarks to a close. So we go back to Acts 8:36. The eunuch asked, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I ask you that today. Why are you waiting? I hopefully have showed you what treasure is. Why do you wait? Is there a better time? No. Why are we waiting? In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Put Jesus first. It's not that hard. When you do, you're blessed. You start building treasures here. There's a great blessing waiting for those that do that. Sometime I get lukewarm. Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Sometimes we put God and His work on the back burner. We move something to the front that we're really doing. We don't need to do that. We're letting that treasure slip. Are you serving the Lord? Are you just kind of thinking about it? Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, not as to the Lord, but to men. There's things we need to be doing, and we procrastinate. I'll do it when I get around to it. Last time that don't happen. Are we teaching? Matthew 28:19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You ever thought why when someone is baptized here, that we say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. This is why. It tells us to.